I mentioned last week that I'm a slightly rebellious person, and because it's my last Sunday, I want to clap. Is that all right? You guys just bring so much love into the service. You have such great energy. And Ashanta, working with you has been an honor. You are amazing. Thank you. Thank you. So those two little figures that you see on that image are my grandsons. I know, they're so cute. Matthew is 9, and Noah is going to be 7. He's quite upset with me because I won't be around for his birthday. And of course, I'm feeling guilt, lots of grandma guilt, because, you know, you have to celebrate, even if it's at a laser thing. Have you ever go to one of those laser halls, 15 children, and they're all going, zzz, don't do it. So just imagine, we as a group, our Bible study, what we've been doing is studying the parables and having fun kind of pulling them apart. Jesus' purpose, one of his purposes, was to tell us who God is. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like, and this parable was one of those examples. The kingdom of God is like the prodigal son who returns, and no matter who's upset, the father embraces him. I used Eugene Peterson from The Message as the translation or interpretation this week, because he really kind of spins it a little bit differently. And sometimes when we hear a parable for the 100th, 500th time in our life, we kind of tune out, and I wanted you to hear it from a different way. What I liked about this one especially is the son who realizes that home is better than anything, that he rehearses what he's going to say to his father. Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against God. But the father doesn't listen. The father's just, he's planning a party. He doesn't care. My son has come home. There's an image, a painting that is quite popular now, and it's called The First Day in Heaven. And it shows this woman with ecstatic, and she's so joyful, and she's hugging Jesus. It's an amazing image. That's what I think heaven is like. People have asked, a question I've been asked over all these years of ministry is, how did Jesus, if Jesus is divine, sometimes it comes at me as an accusation, if Jesus is divine, then how is it that he had all of God's wisdom in his head? Well, there's a very complicated answer to that. But let me bring it down to something simple. It's called the beatific vision. Jesus had a limited knowledge called the beatific vision. Because he's human, right? His brain can't hold the wisdom of God. And he knew that when he went to a mountaintop, he would connect with the divine. Sometime, someday, I'm going to actually sit down with the Gospels and check how many times Jesus went off to pray. It says that often, Jesus went off to pray. If you go to the Sea of Galilee and you're on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, it's quite fascinating because there's mountains all around you, and that you know that the sight that you're seeing is the sight that Jesus saw when he was there. Mountains don't disappear. The landscape is the same. So he would have been up on one of those mountains praying. Jesus went off to pray to connect with the divine. So when you pray, you're opening yourselves to the divine as Jesus did. Jesus had the beatific vision. He knew what he was there to do, which is to teach us, to maybe push aside our knowledge of God and try to imagine what is it like to be God and love us, to love us unconditionally? What is it like to be loved by the Spirit? What's it like to be loved even when you don't love yourself? What's it like to be God and know everything, to be aware of everything? And that's a whole other sermon about time and what does God know and all that sort of thing. So Jesus' beatific vision is to help us know God through parables, to give us images, imagination, push our imagination. Who grew up with the imagination or the image of God as the old white guy with the long white hair, sitting on a cloud with a thunderbolt waiting to get us? I did. And I remember once in a thunder and lightning storm, I grew up in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, thunder and lightning storm, somebody said, "Oh, is God mad today?" And for a 9-year-old kid, I was terrified. What is going to happen? Thankfully, you grow out of those images. And when I went to seminary in Halifax, Lennox School of Theology, what they did for those 4 years that I was there is they take all that you think God is and they take it out of your brain, they rearrange it with imagination, and then they put back something that is called love your neighbor as yourself and your God above all else. You need imagination because we will never know who God is. We can't. Our brains, humanity cannot. I went back to university later in my ministry and ended up working in 5 months as a student chaplain. And I thought I knew ministry because I'd been ordained 5 years, but didn't. And one of the things I had to do was to work with people in the prison. I was assigned to the men's section, which was 2 years less a day. Two of the male students that I worked with were 2 years plus a day. And then there was the women's section where the woman, one of the other students, where she went. So I would go in every day and go into the cell block and have to sit. First week, I shook a lot because there was one guy called Vinny. Oh, when I tell you about somebody, I have their permission to tell you. Vinny was that tall. And Vinny wanted so desperately to talk. He wanted to talk desperately to one of these students, and he kept like hounding our supervisor. So finally, I get to talk to Vinny. And there's a little room in the cell block. And you go and you sit there, and there's no cameras and there's no microphones. It's just you and Vinny. And Vinny was, first thing Vinny said to me when we sat down and we closed the door, he said, "You have to sit by the door because that red button is what you push when there's an emergency." "Yes, Vinny, okay." And then Vinny started crying. This 29-year-old man cried for the whole hour we were together because he had done something. He had betrayed somebody who had loved him, and it ended up, I won't tell you a story, but he ended up in prison. And I sat there not knowing what to do other than to listen to this big guy crying. There was another young man who was actually Hell's Angels, like big. He's a little guy. He's a short guy. But boy, was he menacing. Very intelligent guy. We used to have long conversations. And he said to me, "I am your enemy because I don't believe in this God stuff. God hates me." So he did believe, but God hates me. And so you and I, we're not going to get along. We spent a lot of time together talking. And one day, I wasn't trying to describe God, but he was trying to get me to describe God. So I said to this young man, "Describe for me the best day of your life, the best day, the day that you felt peace and joy and love and just contentment." And he said, "I remember 14 years old walking along a country road with a fishing pole over my shoulder, and it was an autumn day, so the colors were beautiful. Nobody was with me, and it was peaceful. I said, there's God. That's what God is. God is in that moment. The feelings that you feel, that is God. The parables are used to push our imagination, to shake up how we think God is. I live on Commercial Drive. If you know Commercial Drive in East Vancouver, Commercial Drive is where old hippies go to die. I love Commercial Drive. And I was walking along the drive last night with a friend of mine who teaches teachers at, I can't remember the some university. Anyways, I said, I'm gonna go buy you dinner if you talk to me about imagination. Like, pull it out of my head, like give me. And so we had a lovely long dinner at the Greek restaurant, and we laughed a lot, and that was the funny part. We were talking about God for the 2 hours, and we laughed. And I said to her, I've known her for like 40 years, I've said, this is what prayer feels like. To be able to sit with somebody, to feel totally content, and to feel love and laughter and joy. So Jesus wants you to know that the parables push your understanding. Don't get caught in a rut, as Einstein says, about knowledge. Push it. Push it back. What color is God? Somebody once asked me. A child asked me. What color is God? Purple. I said purple. What language does God speak? Another child once asked me. All languages. I said, God doesn't speak, God loves. Just pushes it into you. Another, my grandson, the bigger one, asked me one day, where's Grandpa now? And then the little one said, this is 4 years ago, after my husband died, the little one said, oh, I saw him last night in my bedroom. Who knows, when you're 3 years old, what you see? I'm sorry that this is my last Sunday, because I've had so much fun with you. You really have helped me. As I say, I'd been retired, so getting back, getting those muscles working again was kind of hard the first week. Thank God for Gary. But it's been fun because you guys are fun. You're happy. You're church people. You don't sit there with solemn faces. You laugh at my jokes. Oh, I have a joke for you. Now that I mention it, it's a Matthew joke. What do you call a sleeping dinosaur? A dinosnore. It's another one. Knock, knock. Orange. Aren't you glad I'm not a banana? That's great. Thank you. So I mentioned before, I don't know if I mentioned before, that I'm heading to Ireland on Wednesday, and then after 10 days I'm heading to Palestine. And I'll be in Palestine during Holy Week, and then back to Ireland, and then home. Ireland for another 10 days. And I was on the WhatsApp chat this morning talking to my niece in Ireland, because I want to buy toys for the children, the Gaza children that I will be meeting with and talking. It's a listening. I'll be listening for 9 days. What do you buy for a child? What do you buy for a child who has gone through what they've gone through? Chocolate, apparently, is a heal-all. Shoes. She told me shoes. She told me socks. What else do you buy for a child? Use your imagination. Who has gone through what they have gone through? Licorice? Books? Crayons? Soccer ball. Oh, I can't get my luggage. Yeah. Deflate it. You're right. Thank you. That's a good, I hadn't thought of soccer ball, baseball. Anyways, I will be thinking about you when, if I get in, because they say things are really complicated at the moment and they might not let me in. I'll have to wear my collar. I have to find it and wear it. I'll be thinking about you, and I told Carrie if I can, I'll send you some pictures of Holy Week. What's it like to be in the old city? I've been there a few times, so I'm looking forward to just walking around the Mount of Olives and sitting and praying and thinking about you and saying, thank you for Gilmore Park United Church. Wow. So that's the end of the sermon. Thank you.